Welcome to Sports with Carney. Just letting the music play a little bit longer here. Man, I just love this song. Let's listen. We got a great show coming up for you today. I'd like to, as always, thank you for tuning in. This is Sports with Carney, your host, Logan Carney. Doing a show at 7 o'clock. Fixed all the technical issues, finally starting on time. And I think that's a sign for a great show. A couple of topics that we're going to be talking up. You know, it's mainly going to be baseball focused today. I'm going to stick towards baseball. We'll get into a little bit Robert Morris later. But we're going to stay on topic for baseball. So stay tuned. Coming up. Yeah, this isn't a music show. This is a sports show, so. But I just want to say, you know, best theme song out there. At least the best one at this station. Definitely. Definitely. Do I Want to Know by the Arctic Monkeys playing us in as usual. Welcome back. I don't even know why I'm saying welcome back, because we just started, so. Welcome to Sports with Carney. Once again, your host, Logan Carney. I'd like to thank you all for tuning in. Here at 7 o'clock. Now, I knocked a little bit earlier from our 8 o'clock hours. I'm going to be going on Colonial Sports Center at 9:30. So we're going to need some time to prepare and get ready for that. So unfortunately, we started a little bit earlier. But, I mean, if you're a regular listener, I'm sure that's not much of a problem for you. Before we start, I'd just like to take this time to bring up Bringing the Blues to RMU. If you get a chance to go to it, it's free admission on November 3rd, 2017 at Hopwood Hall, 5 p.m. It'll be featuring Jill West and the Blues Attack, along with a screening of Blues Chronicles from the Berg. I believe that documentary was actually made by some people at Robert Morris. So if you get the chance, you know, come and do it. Don't just ignore my plug, because this is a great one. Bringing the Blues to RMU, November 3rd, 2017, 5 p.m. at Hopwood Hall. Free admission, and feature Joe West and Blues Attack, along with a screening of Blues Chronicles from the Berg. Now, like I said, beginning, we're going to stick mostly onto baseball this evening, because, you know, frankly, the Steelers have just been frustrating. Just been extremely frustrating, and I don't really want to talk about them. The Penguins finally have gotten a good win after starting off horribly at 0-2 with a 10-1 loss to the Blackhawks. I mean, that's just embarrassing. We talked about them in our last episode. We had Ryan Lobick call in, and he was on. Great caller, and he gave us a little bit of hockey insight. But we're going to stick with baseball today, and if we have time, we'll get into some upcoming college football with Robert Morris. They're taking on Duquesne in their big rivalry game to start NEC play. And then, of course, as usual, we would talk the other local teams, mainly Pitt, Penn State. You know, because even though this is a Robert Morris school, you know, most people have allegiances to one of those two. Even throw some West Virginia in there if we have time. Why not? But finally, we're going to get started here with some playoff baseball. Now, my pick at the beginning of the season, my pick has always been the Houston Astros. Keep in mind, this was my pick last year, too, so they could easily blow it. You know, I picked the Houston Astros last year. That's not going to be anything new if I'm wrong in this area. Because, you know, 9 times out of 10, when I make what I believe to be logical predictions, they end up failing. In terms of who's going to end up winning. But my team at the beginning of the year to pick was the Houston Astros. And I'm going to be quite honest, I can't see them losing. I cannot see them losing. The Dodgers are good, but the Dodgers are the Dodgers. You know, they have a history of choking. Even if this year they have Yu Darvish, you know, I don't really care if they have Yu Darvish, because they blew it with Zach Greinke and Clayton Kershaw. You know, having Yu Darvish and Clayton Kershaw does not make that much difference when you lost with Zach Greinke. The Cubs are probably they're my pick to come out of the National League, unfortunately, because I despise the Cubs, but they are my pick to come out of the National League. You know, the Nationals are in the same boat as the Dodgers, in which, you know, they have a history of choking, and they hired a manager who chokes. So I'm not really using much, you know, statistics here. I'm going more in history. That's what I'm going with. I think personally, if I had to pick a team from the National League without knowing their playoff history, I would go the Nationals. So I think it's going to be whoever wins the Cubs National Series is going to be the team that comes out of the National League. As far as the American League goes, you know, the Yankees came back yesterday and won that series. Congratulations. Congrats. I don't know if you can hear me clapping in the mic. Probably sounds bad. But frankly, I just want to prove how sarcastic I am, because I really don't like the Yankees. I can't stand the Yankees. I hate everything about the Yankees. The Indians, you know, they fell with the teams. And this is, again, another reason why I'm not taking the Dodgers. The Indians fell with, you know, they're the best team, and they blew it, which happens a lot more often than you think it does in the MLB postseason. Very rarely, and yes, I know it happened last year, but very rarely does the best team end up winning the actual World Series. And the Indians, with respect to the Dodgers, were the best team in baseball this past year. But again, we're just going to go back to my original point. The Houston Astros are my pick. And I'm going to tell you why. In my opinion, they have the best 1-2 playoff punch for pitchers in baseball right now. And I know somebody's going to bring up, what about Max Scherzer? What about Steven Strasburg? What about Clayton Kershaw? What about Yu Darvish? Have you seen the way that Justin Verlander has been pitching since he's been dealt to the Astros? I mean, let's not even, you know, take into account. I mean, we will take into account, because it helps my case, his amazing history with the Tigers in the postseason. I mean, he's done phenomenal in the postseason. And with Dallas Keuchel behind him, Dallas Keuchel is a great pitcher. Granted, he hasn't exactly, you know, he hasn't exactly been that great. But, you know, maybe he'd be good. You know, what can I say? I'm having trouble here with a little bit of, you know, just trying to gather my thoughts. But I remember, because I had Justin, I play fantasy baseball, big fantasy baseball player. And I remember I acquired Justin Verlander in that league. And in that league, you know, I acquired him very beginning of the year. He was coming off Cy Young year, and he struggled. And he had above a 5 ERA at one point. Well, I ended up winning the championship in that league, and main reason why is because he ended up bringing his stats down significantly. He finished with, you know, 3.82 ERA, which is not good for him, But considering where he was at, to bring it down about two runs in such a short period of time is significant. I mean, he still pitched about 170 innings. So he still got, you know, starters workload. Again, not Justin Verlander. Like numbers in his best of his career. He's never going to repeat the numbers that he has. All right, he's never going to put up that MVP season he had with the Tigers. He's just too old. But he's been dominant in the postseason. Now, as far as, you know, there are two pitchers in the National League that have been better than those two in the American League. And that is Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg. And I did say previously that Keuchel and Verlander, I think, are the best 1-2 punch. I understand, you know, there's Kershaw, there's Darvish, those two on one team. You know, the Cubs got Lester, Arrieta. You know, every team, except for really the Yankees, have a dominant 1-2 punch. Although CC Sabathia, you know, Tanaka, Severino, those guys have all looked good in the postseason except for a couple bad innings. So if I had to really pick, I'm sorry, I already picked. If the reason why I'm not taking the Nationals is because their offense has just not been good. Their offense is clearly falling under the pressure, which is just a history. Just goes with the history of that franchise, of that team, that young franchise. And the history of course, their manager, Dusty Baker, who is somebody that I despise in Major League Baseball. And, you know, a lot of it does have to do with, you know, he coached the Reds during the Pirates, when the Pirates and the Reds were very good in 2013 and 2014. Well, not really so much for the Reds in 2014, more like 2011, 2012, and 2013 when the Pirates had the two collapse and the Reds were really good. I am thoroughly convinced that, you know, he was the type of manager that told his players to throw beam balls at the Pirates. And I think karma has it. That's why he hasn't gone past the division series since early 2000s, you know, when his team's choked in the playoffs. With the whole Buckner, or not Buckner, with the whole fan incident in Chicago, losing in San Francisco. I mean, how I don't understand how you could lose with a player like Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds is the greatest player to ever play. Yes, he did use steroids, but he's still the greatest player to ever play. Should put an asterisk next to that. So when I look at this series, the Nationals and Cubs, I see one team with a history of choking that hired a manager that has a history of choking. Don't understand what the logic was behind it, but I don't run the Nationals. On the other side, I see a team that is extremely disappointed this year. And I really don't want either one of these teams coming out of it. But one will, because that's how baseball and the playoffs work. And really the only non-villain team left is the Astros. There's a lot of things to love about the Astros. And they have, right now, the best player in baseball in Jose Altuve. It's not Mike Trout. It's not Bryce Harper. Those are both extremely good players. But the best player in baseball right now is Jose Altuve. I mean, the guy is 5'6" and had over 20 home runs for the second consecutive year. That on its own is extremely impressive. But he finished with a .346 batting average, had over 100 runs, had over 200 hits. I believe he had over 100 RBIs. He had over 30 stolen bases. I mean, there's not a more well-rounded player in baseball, and he's still just 27 years old. I got his exact stat lines here. So he didn't get over. He got 81 RBIs, 24 home runs, 32 stolen bases, 346 batting average, 410 on base percentage, and he had 204 hits, which is the fourth consecutive year he's had over 200 hits. Fourth consecutive year that he has had over 200 hits. I mean, that kind of consistency is just unheard of. To put it into perspective, we're going to look at, you know, Andrew McCutchen, who is, you know, who is the best baseball player the Pirates have had since Bonds. Saved the franchise, MVP winner. Andrew McCutchen, you know how many 200 hit seasons he's had? Zero. His highest total was 194. In 2012, which was his best offensive year. And he should have won the MVP that year too, but that's not important. What is important is, you know, Andrew McCutchen at one time was considered to be one of the best, you know, top three most complete players in baseball, along with, you know, Trout and Harper. And Jose Altuve hasn't really gotten that recognition until like last year or 2 years ago when the Astros are actually good. But he's had four consecutive years above 200 hits. You know, he's a 20-20 guy at least. And he's 5'6". He had 24 home runs this year. 32 stolen bases. He's always had that speed. He's got a good glove. There's not a better player in baseball. So not only do I believe that the Astros have the best 1-2 punch right now in baseball for the pitching, I believe they have the best overall player in baseball. And that's not even looking at the rest of their lineup. It's not even looking at power hitter, outfielder, George Springer. That's not looking at Carlos Correa. You know, they're a team that's just, they're just well-balanced. They have a good bullpen. Ken Giles, I believe, is their closer. The team's well-balanced, and I really, they're my pick. They were my pick at the beginning of the year, and I'm sticking with them. I'm glad that they're doing well because, frankly, I'm not going to root for the Yankees. I'm laughing just saying it. I'm not going to root for the Dodgers. I'm not going to root for the Nationals. I'm not going to root for the Cubs. Sticking with baseball here. I said it'll be a mostly baseball show because, you know, that's what I'm feeling tonight. We'll go baseball. And frankly, you know, one team that isn't in the playoffs this year is, of course, the Pittsburgh Pirates. Now, I've talked about them a lot on this show and what they need to do. And frankly, you know, there's a lot they need to do. Well, actually, there's only a lot they need to do for a few areas. The bullpen needs to be upgraded significantly. That's something that the Pirates for once in their lives have to actually invest into the bullpen. And I'm not talking, you know, redemption pitchers, reclamation projects. I'm not talking that. You know, somebody said that they should go out and sign Francisco Liriano. No, they shouldn't. They don't need another reclamation project. I'm tired of seeing reclamation projects. You know, give us somebody that we know is going to go out there and be decent. It's a couple relievers that are just going to be decent. The bullpen behind their closer Rivera is atrocious. It's horrid. It's sickening. It's disgusting. It should be illegal. It should be a rule to not have the bullpen that you have, because it is just absolutely sickening, disgusting, horrid, all those other words that I said. And then they traded Nicasio. Well, they dumped Nicasio for nothing, so it got even worse. Of course, he was a free agent after this year, and the Pirates are too cheap to finally sign him. But here's the thing. You know, the Pirates are cheap. They are. Bob Nutting is cheap. I'm not going to act like those 3 years where they made the playoffs didn't happen, where Neil Huntington was one of the best GMs in baseball, and they built good teams, and they did put enough money into the program. I don't know why I called it a program, the organization. But you know, they need to do more. They don't need to go out and, you know, trade for Aroldis Chapman or sign a guy, you know, of that caliber. I don't even think there are any closers on the market of that caliber this year. Can you trade for some decent relievers? You know, you got Contos, was a good deal. Trade for some guys like him. When the Pirates were good from 2013 to 2015, when they made the playoffs 3 years in a row, their bullpen was one of the best in baseball. When they had Grilly and Melanson and Watson, you know, that's a dominant bullpen. They had two relievers make it multiple years. I think both Melanson and Watson made it the All-Star game as setup guys. Melanson, the 1 year, had a .86 ERA. .86. That's insane. That's unheard of. You know, relievers can't dream of having a .86 ERA. The Pirates need to find that again. They don't need that dominance. They don't need a .86 ERA guy. They need a setup guy. They need one that's consistent. The only consistent reliever they have is Rivero. And there's no use if you're just going to save him in the ninth inning, which I dislike the closer role entirely. But that's a different discussion for a different episode. I mean, the bullpen's filled with guys that, you know, I haven't even heard of. I honestly, like off the top of my head, I can probably name two relievers. And only one of them is any good. I'll tell you what I do like about the Pirates, though. And I talked about this in my last episode. I think I've been talking about it every episode because I absolutely love it. The rotation. Now, the rotation did not have a good year. I believe everybody finished with a above four ERA. But Gerrit Cole, Jameson Taillon, both former first-round picks, both top prospects, they both flashed brilliance. I don't want to hear about Cole not having talent enough to be an ace. Look at that 2015 year when he won 19 games, had a .260 ERA, had over 200 strikeouts, and tell me he wasn't an ace. All right, because he has that talent. Taillon, I think, is better. Glasnow, you know, he has put up much better numbers in the minors than Cole or Taillon than I ever did. He can still figure things out. You know, when Clayton Kershaw came up, he was not good those first couple years. He didn't pitch as much as Glasnow did. There's that. But he wasn't good. I'm not saying Glasnow's going to be Clayton Kershaw. But could he be a number three starter? Definitely. Or a number four starter, or five starter? Because they have that many guys. If Mitch Keller will be up next year, and he's another great pitcher. He's a top 25 prospect in MLB base and MLB prospect ratings. I mean, just look at all the other guys they have. They got Trevor Williams, who I love. He is the funniest Twitter account in all of sports, in all of the world. If you have a Twitter, I really suggest you follow this man. Even if you don't like baseball, even if you don't like sports, follow this man, because trust me, you will regret your decision if you don't. And then they have Chad Cole, who I think might be better suited for a reliever role in the future. Could they move him to the long? Do I think they should pitch him as a long reliever? No. I think they should make him a setup man. I mean, if you put him in the bullpen, he could throw over 100 miles per hour. Now, he's touched 98, he's touched 97, he's touched 99. He can be an extremely good reliever. I think he should be a setup guy. I think he's the setup guy that Rivero is missing and the rest of the Pirates bullpen is missing. But if they don't move him to the bullpen, keep him in the rotation, that's fine too, because he's a decent starter as well. I mean, he improved drastically over the course of the season. I think he had like a 6 ERA after the first month. They ended up bringing it down to 4. And then they got Yvonne Nova signed on for 2 more years, who I also think should be moved to the bullpen. Will they do it? No, because they're paying him too much money and the Pirates are cheap. They may trade him. That's a possibility. Like what they did with Liriano. But do you really want to give up prospect to get rid of Yvonne Nova? No. I mean, I would have thought the same thing about Liriano too, but that's what they did. Even if that trade, you know, hasn't worked out for either team. Because both of the two prospects that were sent over are dropped out of the Blue Jays top 30. And the Blue Jays don't have a good farm system. And I think Nova should be moved in the bullpen as a long reliever. I think he's better suited for that. And with Chad Cole as a setup man, Rivera is closer. I mean, that's a decent bullpen right there to build around. Go out, sign a few guys, build that bullpen up. Go with a young rotation, which is, again, why I don't want to see a reclamation project. They have enough young starters. They do not need to go out and sign a reclamation project. It has not worked recently. But need to sign some relievers. Need to improve the bullpen drastically. The only other thing I really need them to do, I mean, again, they don't need major upgrades. They have a great core that's good enough to get them to a wild card spot. That's assuming they cannot trade Gerrit Cole. They cannot trade Josh Harrison. They cannot trade Andrew McCutchen. So frankly, I don't think Austin Meadows is not ready. He's been hurt way too much. And I don't trust him. He might be a bust. He's hurt way too much. He might be a bust. And even in, like, he hasn't impressed. Besides, too, his numbers are not that impressive to me. So they need to keep Cutchin for at least 1 more year. McCutchen for 1 more year. They need to keep Josh Harrison for 1 more year. I think Josh Harrison will get traded. I think he's the most likely to go, but I would keep him. I think the Pirates like Adam Frazier enough, and I feel like it won't be upsetting. The Pirates view a Josh Harrison trade won't be as upsetting as a McCutchen trade. I think that's why they'll trade Josh Harrison. I also think you can get more from Josh Harrison than you could from McCutchen because Josh Harrison has versatility. He was an all-star, and he hasn't shown his age as much as McCutchen has. Now, so let's say they don't trade Josh Harrison. Let's say they don't trade Cole, and let's say they don't trade McCutchen. And let's say they also agree with me and go with a young rotation and move Nova to the bullpen, which they won't, but let's just say for this hypothetical situation that they do. What else do they need? It looks like Jung Ho Kang will be coming back. So they'll have their third baseman. Could they upgrade at shortstop? Maybe. I mean, Mercer's fine. Mercer's passable. You know, you can easily downgrade from him, but you can also easily upgrade from him. But I wouldn't spend money on a shortstop. So, assuming Gung comes back, they don't need a starter. I would cut Chris Stewart. Maybe I would start. They're going to start Civelli because they're paying him $11 million. But I would start Diaz. because Ilias Diaz's his defense is just so much better. And if you want, you know, you got to have the young, if you want the young catcher to be a catcher of your future, you got to have him work with the young staff and the pitchers of your future. But Chris Stewart needs to go, and you got to get Diaz in that, at least in the bench. Also on the bench will be still David Freese, who is a very good bench player, and Adam Frazier, who is a very good utility man. So that really leaves two spots. They're going to need to sign an outfielder, and they're going to need to sign somebody that can be a pinch hitter. Now, they could use David Freese in that role, but I would rather them use him as a first baseman, third baseman. Hopefully, they don't try him in the outfield like they did with John Jaso, who, you know, the team's already going to be better because he's gone. But do they don't even really need to make upgrades. You know, they have Jordan Luplow, who hit over 20 home runs this year between the two leagues. He's actually led the organization in home runs this year. I mean, they have some good young guys. They don't really need to go out and sign anyone. If they just went out with, you know, this young team. Plus, they got Sean Rodriguez. I completely forgot. They got Sean Rodriguez for another year. So there's another utility man. Now he's getting overpaid, but they have him for another year. So they got two very good utility men. And let's say they go with Luplow, David Freese, and Diaz. Hopefully Diaz. Or then go with Jose Azuna, who is better than Luplow. Either one of those two would be good. So on paper, they have a very good team. They all play up to their potential. In a perfect world, this team will make the playoffs. Now, the past 2 years, they haven't played up to their potential. Cole has stunk. McCutchen has stunk. Marte has been suspended. Gong can't apparently keep himself under control. Judge Harrison, Judge Harrison's been consistently good the past 2 years, but I mean, he's never going to have that 2014 again. Cervelli has stunk. The bullpen has stunk. Guys have been hurt. Really, things have just not gone right for them. Things have just not gone right at all. I'd like to take this time real quick. I'd just like to say thank you all for tuning in. I mean, it really is just great luck that we have. We finally started on time. Really excited about that. And with a very few technical difficulties here today. Very few. Actually, I should say none technical difficulties. It's been a technical-free episode. It's been a perfect episode so far, knock on wood. I don't know if you could hear that in the background. But I would just like to take this time to say, if you get a chance on November 3rd, 2017, bring in the Blues to RMU. Free admission, 5 p.m. at Hopwood Hall on November 3rd, 2017. We'll be featuring Jill West in the Blues Attack, along with a screening of Blues Chronicles from the Berg, which was a documentary about the Blues from Pittsburgh that was made by people here at Robin Morris. Again, bring the Blues to RMU, November 3rd, 2017, 5 p.m. at Hopwood Hall. That is actually directly across from the radio room. Speaking of that, though, I mean, we're gonna get back onto baseball in a sec, but just wanted to let you in some couple a really exciting thing that I'm excited for. I'm actually gonna get the chance to broadcast a Pee Wee football game. Yeah, you heard me right, Pee Wee football. Don't know when it will be. I think somebody said something about November 28th, but that's not a locked in date. But Pee Wee football, it's crazy what they won't broadcast. That'll also be on the radio, so tune into that whenever that may be. I'll be sure to remind you on my next episode. And of course, if you like Army Radio, be sure to check out all of our other shows. I have a podcast as well, Berg Nation. You can check out all of our TV shows up here. You can check out Army Century Media. I myself am on Army Live on Mondays, Sports Talk in the Berg, which is on Tuesdays, every other Tuesday, I should say. I have two shows named that have Berg in it. Fun fact, with a podcast and a TV show. We're going to get back on topic, though. Now, the thing is, the Pirates want to get back into contention next season. And the Pirates do want to get back into contention next season. Then they're going to have to worry about the Cubs, obviously. But that's not just it. The Brewers had a good year, better year than the Pirates did, and they have a young team. Orlando Arcia, he's a star in the making. They have Luis Brinson in the outfield, Keon Broxton, who the Pirates traded away. A move that I hate. Move I didn't really understand at the time. Didn't think it would turn out this bad for him. Had a 2020 year. 2020 is when you get 20 home runs and 20 stolen bases in the same season, at least. And the Pirates traded him away for nothing. And he could have at least started this year. Again, the Pirates shouldn't have seen Marte's suspension coming, but they did nothing when it happened. And then Keon Broxton, they have a really good young team. The Pirates have to worry about them now. Cardinals always find a way to compete. A down year for the Cardinals is at least 83 wins. You know, we always have to worry about the Cardinals. And the Cubs, well, the Cubs are one of the best teams in baseball, and they're young. So the Pirates have a lot to worry about if they are going to get it back. But, you know, I definitely think they can. Do I think they'll win the division? No. No. No, I do not. I don't see them winning the division by any means. Unless the division, you know, plays as bad as they did this year, in which case they could definitely win the division. But I don't think that'll happen next year. But can they be a wild card team? Yes. I mean, they're beating up. They have some good teams in their division, but you know, they're not great. The Brewers will be a good team next year. They'll be in the playoff contention. But they're not going to be one of the best teams in baseball. Cardinals won't either. Cubs probably will. But the Pirates beat up the Cubs this year. If you're just joining us, I'd like to thank you for tuning in. This is Sports with Carney on Army Radio on the TuneIn app. I'm your host, Logan Carney. We're approaching the 39-minute mark of the episodes. Again, we started at 7 o'clock today, a little bit after 7, but pretty much on time. But started at 7. It's going to run to close to 8 o'clock. Usual time for the show, 8 to 9 on Thursdays. I'm going to be on Colonial Sports Center at 9:30 tonight, doing a discussion on Robert Morris football. Oh, we talked about baseball for 40 minutes. I said if we got to it, we'll talk some college football. So we'll talk some college football. Robert Morris is taking on Duquesne on Saturday, starting off their NEC season. They finished 2-3 in non-conference play with two of the losses against, you know, two of the best teams in college football, FCS football, not all of college football. So I'm not calling them out of the woods yet. Out of the race yet. Now I said on Sports Talk with the Berg, a TV show I do every other Tuesday, that Robert Morris will win the NEC. And I'm gonna stand by my prediction till it is impossible. But I'm not going to lie. Part of me wishes I didn't say that. Do I think they still can? Oh, definitely, because NEC play hasn't started yet. And the NEC is a horrible conference when it comes to football. So do they, can they? Yes. Will they? You know, I predicted them to. But it's not, I'm not feeling so confident about it after their last loss. But they still have, you know, the defense is still one of the best. Jimmy Walker, even though they lost last week, still had 189 yards. Still put up some good numbers. The run game, Dreyer averaged 4.4 yards per carry. So they still have, so even though they lost, they only scored up 3 points. You know, it was still, it's not like they didn't, it's not like they struggled everywhere. You know, the defense, once again, played great, only let up 16 points. They should have won this game. It was against East Tennessee State, by the way. I don't think I said it. Which is a non-conference game. But the NEC conference is just, it's not good. Duquesne is their toughest test. I mean, Duquesne, they have, they're 4-1. They're on a 4-game win streak. And they have the best record in the conference. Of course, Central Connecticut State has a conference win already. They're 3-3. There are only two above 500 teams in the NEC. Two. St. Francis and Duquesne. If they win this week, they beat Duquesne, then I think they will win the NEC. I think beating Duquesne is the key to winning the NEC. They lose this week, they're going to have a tough battle. But again, this conference is not good. It's not a good conference. Rob Morris is not a great football team. Their defense is very good. Their defense is going to have a great time shutting down all the NEC offenses this year. Their offense, even with, you know, the addition of Jimmy Walker and a decent run game, is still not a very good one. Can they be good? I've watched them. They have the potential to be a very good offense. Will they? Who knows? They put up 3 points against East Tennessee State, a team they should have beat. So you tell me. Another team that's really been more frustrating than Robert Morris, though. And sad to say that I am a fan of them this year. Pitt football. I mean, the after the year they had last year, we thought, oh, nothing can go but up. And they lost everyone. You know, they lost Connor. It's just, lost everyone on that offense. They replaced them with Max, and they got a new quarterback with Max Brown, who was announced today that he will be done for the season. Now, I wish Max Brown well. I hope he heals. I hope he gets better. But I think this will be good. You don't want to say good for Pitt because it's an injury. You never want to say an injury is good. But I'm excited to see Ben DiNucci. Now, DiNucci, you know, is overhyped around Pittsburgh because he's from Pittsburgh. And he was a great high school quarterback. But he has shown flashes of brilliance in the short spurts that he's played so far this year. And he's also looked horrible. He's also looked worse than Max Brown. He's also a sophomore and was only a 3-star recruit. So I'm not going to come out and say he's the next Johnny Manziel, he's the next Tim Tebow, because he's not. But can he be good enough? Definitely. And, you know, Pat Narduzzi, the coach, you know, I had a discussion with one of my friends who's a huge Penn State fan. And he said that Narduzzi should be on the chopping block after this year. He should be on the hot seat. And I said, no, I don't think that's true. Because the difference between, you know, Narduzzi and say James Franklin. I think both are very good for their programs. I hate James Franklin. No, I hate James Franklin. I do. I think he's a jerk. But they're both very good for their programs. James Franklin's a top recruiter. It's why he beats Narduzzi every year in getting the top recruits in Pennsylvania. Narduzzi is the type of coach that gets the best out of his players that he is handed. We saw it last year when they beat Penn State at home. We saw it last year when they beat Clemson, at Clemson. We saw it when they almost beat Oklahoma State. You know, they had some really good games last year. They were within one score of every single game that they lost, except for the Miami game where they got blown out. You know, they theoretically, you know, they had the talent that they could have won the division in the ACC. They could have went to a BCS bowl. And who knows? Maybe even get into the Final Four if they just had a decent corner. And I know that's an absurd statement. How can you imagine Pitt in the college football playoff? Look at the games last year. All right? They're not pretty games. But all you need to do is flip one drive, and Pitt wins them. You know, Pitt goes 11-1 because you're not going to flip the Miami game. Again, the same can be said, well, you know, you can flip the score of Penn State, you can flip the score of Clemson. I understand that. But Pitt was in every single game last year. They could have, theoretically, they had the talent on offense to be in that. I mean, they proved it as being the only team to beat Clemson, and they won at Clemson. That is not an easy place to win. That is arguably the toughest place to win in all of college football. And they beat Penn State, who ended up being a top four team. So they beat two top four teams last year. You know, they made Trace McSorley look like Tino Cinceri. They did a great job last year. But this is a young team. And again, the difference between why I don't think Narduzzi should be on the hot seat, because the difference between him and James Franklin is that James Franklin's a recruiter. Narduzzi is a motivator. Narduzzi is the coach that Pitt needs. Narduzzi is the coach that Pitt needs because Pitt's not going to beat Penn State in recruiting every year. They're not. Penn State can go anywhere and get recruits. Pitt is stuck with the Whipple talent. Now, Narduzzi's done a good job of going out of state, but they're not going to beat Penn State in recruiting. You know, they have to establish a win. They have to reestablish the winning culture that they had in the 70s with guys like Marino and Dorsett and Ditka. They have to establish that winning culture back before they will, you know, compete with Penn, will beat Penn State. And that's an overall class, though. Narduzzi does need to beat Penn State with Whipple recruits. You cannot lose the, if you're Pitt, you cannot lose the best Whipple recruits every year if you expect to be the best team in the state. If Narduzzi can get those Whipple recruits, then I think they contend for an ACC title. Will they win the ACC title? ACC title? Well, with, you know, guys like teams like Florida State and Clemson that are always among the best. You know, Louisville is usually good, too, over there. Now, will they win the ACC title? I'm not going to predict that they will under Narduzzi's term. But could they definitely compete with Narduzzi? Yeah. Bet your bottom dollar, yeah. I mean, again, you know, Pitt football, they've been extremely disappointing this year. But they're going to have a lot of young guys playing for the rest of the season. This is going to be a rebuilding year. Next year, I think they'll be better. They're not going to be like how they were last year. 2 years from now, I think they can be. When guys like DiNucci are seniors. And Narduzzi, I'm not saying he's done a bad job recruiting, because he's done a good job recruiting, but he does need to do better in the Whipples. He does need to do better. One last time, I'd just like to Thank you all for joining me today. Unfortunately, you know, I have to go get ready for my TV show, or not my TV show. I'm just stepping in as a guest on the show in a minute, so we're going to have to come to an end. But, you know, one last time here, go to Bring in the Blues, you know? Just try it. It'll be fun. I promise you it'll be fun because it's free. You don't even have to pay to get in. It's free. It's on November 3rd, 2017, 5 p.m. at Hopwood Hall here at Robert Morris. It's just directly across from the radio room. So who knows? You'll even be, maybe even be able to listen into a live broadcast of the radio, and because it broadcasts just right out in that hallway, just right out. It's featuring Joe West and Blues Attack, along with the screening of Blues Chronicles from the Berg. And the event, I never mentioned it before, but it's sponsored by the Blues Society of Western Pennsylvania, RMU's, or the RMU Active Media Center. And it's sponsored by, of course, RMU Radio. Well, I'd like to thank you all for joining me today. Just a quick recap. Why not? We'll just end on the final thoughts here. Steelers stink. Steelers offense stink. Pirates stink. Pitt stinks. Barbara Morris, you stink. And on a negative note, but I'll say in a positive way. You know why? Because all these teams can be better. Steelers still my Super Bowl pick. Pirates, I still have to go in the playoffs. Robert Morris, I have win the NEC. Pitt, I have improving, because I think Narduzzi is a great coach. So, guys, things may be looking dark out there in the Steel City, but trust me, they're going to get bright. It's going to be brighter and brighter, and things are going to be great whenever we're hosting, you know, at least one championship trophy, hoisting at least one championship trophy. So thank you again for joining me again. Of the Arctic Monkeys playing out.